good.
Well, it is so good to be with you. Last time I was here, you weren't in this building. We had a great time that time. You weren't in this building. And so I know I'm amongst the right crowd. First of all, because the stand's sinking on me. But I'll fix it. I'm good. Jeannie does all the DIY in our house, so that was good. But you weren't in this building. I want to thank Chris and Helena for the opportunity just to be back. And I asked if I could stand down here because, one, there's a lot of space here, which means I can move around a lot. I know that scares you. but also, I just want to interact and just share something on my heart because I believe that what I've got to share today is really a prophetic word from God for you as a church, Salt Church. I believe that God has given me a word, not just for you as a church, but for every person. Esto es para todos. This is for everyone. Oh. Buenos dias. This is for everyone. And it's such a thrill to be with you today. And I wanted to share that, and I wanted to just be able to interact so that you could catch my heart this morning. But first of all, I want to say well done. Well done for getting in this building and pioneering. Like I'm more excited about it than you are, I think. Well done for getting in this building. And I think it's an incredible thing that you've done that, because the message I want to bring today is this: pioneer again. Pioneer again. And we'll go through it. But before we do that, I'd love to just show you a picture. It's a picture of a new album, a worship album. It's called Dream Again. And the guys at our church, Icon Church — I bring you greetings from Icon Church. Everybody asks what icon means. Icon means image. Jesus is the image, the icon of the invisible God. And we are meant to be image bearers. God made us in his image, and that's why we called the church Icon, because first of all, it's all about Jesus. He's the perfect image of God, but then we are to reflect his image into the world. And Icon Music came up with a new album. There you can see. It's called Dream Again. And if you stream music — we did produce some CDs, but found out that lots of people in our church now don't even own a CD player. How about that? Like, I'm buying vinyl records right now, you know, because I just love that. But lots of people in our church don't actually, but they stream it on Amazon, on Apple, Spotify, etc. I'd love you to search for Icon Music. You'll find a couple of albums. You'll find this new one called Dream Again. And I'd love you to have a listen. It's a mix of praise, upbeat, with a youth feel, but it's also got some fantastic worship songs on there. And there's a particular song on it called New Ground, which comes out of this whole idea of pioneering. And I want to talk about that today, the spirit of a pioneer and pioneering again, because I believe that I'm in a room of pioneers. Amen? I'm in a room of people who still believe there's more for God. Let me talk a little bit about a pioneer. A pioneer is the first in an area of enterprise or endeavor, the first to go on a particular journey. A pioneer is usually the first to enter a region for the occupation of others. In other words, a pioneer goes somewhere so that others can follow. Isn't this the spirit of the church? Isn't this the spirit of Jesus Christ? That as a pioneer of our faith, he goes somewhere that we can follow. Isn't this the pioneer and spirit of the church, of Salt Church, that we are going to be the kind of church that goes somewhere so that others can follow? Amen. The pioneer is the first to break a barrier. There's loads of barriers. We all, in England, we always talk about Roger Bannister, the first to run under 4 minutes for the mile. But do you know, within 12 months, there have been another 200 races where people had broke that barrier. But it took a pioneer. Scientists said it was impossible. People said biologically a human could not run that fast. But he broke that barrier. Armstrong, when he stepped onto the moon and he said, one small step for man, one Let's see if this side know that too. One small step for man, one. When he stepped on to the moon, in his pocket or in his suit, I'm not sure he had pockets like me, but in his spacesuit, he had a piece of the Wright brothers' aircraft from the very first flight. Because he knew that he wasn't there just because of his own ingenuity or the ingenuity of his generation. He knew that there was a pioneer way back who opened something up. What about if we could be those kind of pioneers for other people? He knew that. That first flight, by the way, and I'm not going to show a video, but that first flight from the Wright brothers was 12 seconds. Here's why I'm down here. Come on, count with me. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We didn't get very far, did we? 12 seconds. But Armstrong knew, had it not been for those 12 seconds, he would have not been walking on the moon. A pioneer stretches boundaries and he lifts horizons, he lifts visions. So often the world and our enemy wants to limit our horizons and limit for all kinds of reasons what we see. But pioneers have this spirit that says we will not be hindered by boundaries, whatever those will be. And I never want to lose the sense in my life. And I never want our church, Icon Church, and I never want for you, Salt Church, to lose the sense that we're meant to pioneer. For us, we've started new locations. We started in Chesterfield. We've started in Derby and Sheffield. We're trying to do something in London and in another place not too far away from us. But I never want us to lose the sense of pioneering. I don't want us to lose the sense of pioneering in our families, in our relationships, just accepting the status quo, just accepting the norm. Do you know one of the worst verses in the Bible is in the Old Testament where it says, give us a king like the other nations. Because here's what the people are saying, just give us what the neighbors have got. We'll just take what the neighbors are having. Who wants to live like that? I don't want just what my neighbors have got. I want what God's got for me in my life, whether the neighbors have got it or not. So let's pioneer in our families, in our relationships, in our purpose. There's all kinds of fields that people pioneer in. They pioneer in technology. We just talked about CD players, and I look out on a congregation in our church and I say, who's not even got a CD player, even in their car? And loads of hands go up. I can't believe it. Pioneering technology and inventions, in science, in surgery. People pioneer in exploration. Do you know in 1492, when Columbus discovers the Americas, he was looking for something else? He actually wasn't looking for the Americas. He wasn't actually searching for them. He just bumped into the Caribbean islands. Not literally, but he discovered the Americas. 32 years ago, we started a church with three people. We wanted it to be a church for all the people, a church that would speak to the whole of life, that actually when you turned up on a Sunday, the message wouldn't just speak to your Sunday, but it would also speak to your Monday. We wanted to pioneer a church like that. And the reason we wanted to do that is because the Bible is full of pioneers. Abraham, Noah, Moses, David, Solomon. What about God himself, the ultimate pioneer? The New Testament too is full of pioneers. Paul, Barnabas, Peter, James, John, Silas, Timothy, Philip, Epaphras, many that we don't remember the names of, many more. What about Jesus, the pioneer of our faith? We've heard this morning about heaven and earth, and sometimes we think the opposite of heaven is hell. That's not the truth. If you do a search in the Bible and say heaven and hell, you'll come up with zero results. But if you go heaven and earth, you'll come up with hundreds. You see, you could read the Old Testament and say heaven is the place where God is, earth is the place where he once was. That's how you could think about it. But God, the pioneer, wouldn't leave it like that. So he comes in the person of his son so that God is present once more in his world and in his earth. God is the ultimate pioneer. I want to read to begin with Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, because when Jesus talks about the church, when he talks about salt church, you read the Bible like that, that when you read the Bible, this isn't just some history, but this is God dynamically speaking to me today. That's how I read the Bible. He says this, you, that's me, that's you, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is going to come, and he's going to make you pioneers to the ends of the earth. The gospel begins to spread, and in Acts chapter 10, we've got Peter taking the gospel to a Gentile called Cornelius. But do you know, it took them 20 years. It was 20 years before they decided this gospel should go everywhere. It took them 20 years to decide that, even in the book of Acts. So I've got a few questions. What does pioneering look like today? Is pioneering for everyone, or is it just for a few? Is it just for young people to pioneer? I was hoping for a few more no's than that. I think I heard one. Is it just for young people to pioneer? No. Somebody needs to show them how it's to be done. What could pioneering together look like? See, I believe when God decided to pioneer through Jesus, when God decided to pioneer through his church, when God decided to pioneer through Salt Church, what he wanted to do, he had you in mind. Esto es para todos. This is for everyone. He had you in mind. When he said, I'm going to do something in this area, in this region, I'm going to do it through this church called Salt Church. I'm going to salt this area through this church called Salt Church. He had you in his mind. He had you in his mind. He didn't just have an organization in his mind. He didn't just have a legal entity in his mind. He had you in his mind. That you would play your part and that you would contribute your gifts to all of that. What could we pioneer together? What could we be the first in terms of enterprise or endeavor? What area could we be the first to open up so that others could follow and come through? Maybe, I don't know about you, but maybe you're the first person in your family to become a Christian. Maybe your neighbor has got no history of anybody being a Christian. You could pioneer leading somebody to Christ who becomes the first that impacts generations to come. Could we be the first to break some barriers, some mindsets, some ideas, to stretch the limits? My passion, as you can tell, is that the church is always pioneering. But the church can only pioneer if it's full of pioneering people. So I want to read you 8 verses about Jesus pioneering. Let's say by accident. I'm not sure that's true, but let's say by accident. Is that okay? I'm going to do it anyway. I wasn't asking for your permission, but let's say by accident. Jesus, I'm going to read 8 verses, and then I'm going to tell you 4 things that I get from these 8 verses. How's that? It's good, Paul. That's how it is. Muy bien. All right, let's read Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Now, in my Bible, chapter 5 comes after chapter 4. Usually happens like that. Let me tell you what happened in chapter 4. Jesus had said to the disciples, they'd finished the day, let's go to the other side. They get into the boat and a storm comes onto the sea and the boat starts to fill with water. Jesus is still asleep in the back of the boat. The disciples wake him up. Don't you care about us? Don't you care about us? Have you ever been there in your faith with God? Like, you've been in church on Sunday. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship. Then Monday, don't you care about me, God? Have you ever been there? Well, that's where the disciples were. And then Jesus gets up and he storms. He storms the sea. No, he doesn't. He calms the sea. Interestingly, though, the storm had already took its toll. And I'll explain that to you in a moment. So Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And then in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, they would have never gone there without the storm. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the... Oh, let me stop, because I've got a word for somebody this morning. There's a storm in your life that's going to take you somewhere that you would never go without the storm. But when you get there, you will know it's a divine appointment. You will know God has got you there, just like in this story. Anyway, let's read on. That's a prophecy for somebody. Just grab it, take it, believe it. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on the feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Jesus was sleeping in the boat, and the storm came up, and the wind took them off course. It took them to the area of the Gerasenes. When I was in Israel and I was on the Sea of Galilee in the same place where this happened, I had a guide, and this guy was the kind of guy who seemed to know everything. He was incredible. And he said every day, he said, and I'll show you this afternoon, every day there's a wind that comes across the Sea of Galilee and it blows in this direction. And that would have been the area of the Gerasenes where the storm took them. But they would have never wanted to go against that. And so often the fishermen and the people on the Sea of Galilee would fight against that wind. And the wind takes them off course. And Jesus calms the storm, but they're still off course so that they end up where they don't want to be. Here's the first thing that I want to share with you. Number one, a pioneer inhabits territory previously thought uninhabitable. Who thought we could walk on the moon? Who thought we could run under 4 minutes for the mile? You see, in all of our lives in society, limits have been set, sometimes in our history, sometimes in our family. Sometimes we think we're limited in our education. And we accept those limits, but you know, a pioneering spirit will conquer those limits. What about in church? We accept limits in church, don't we? If you read the British press, the church is dying. But that's because they've never been to our church. Or churches like us. They're saying there's nobody in church in Britain. But they've been to the wrong churches. Because God is doing some great things. You see, a pioneer reinvents the parameters of the possible. And these disciples would have never gone to the region of the Gadarenes. And you see, that region, that wasn't the name initially of the region. It was the name of the people. And it means those who come from pilgrimage or flight. They're exiles. They're people escaping other areas. And the people were afraid of them. They feared them because they didn't know them. And so they would have never gone into that region. And no one would have ever gone there. And part of the fear in chapter 4, that don't you care for us, is that if we end up over there, they'll kill us. That's what my guide told me. My Israeli guide said, when we read that scripture, that's what we think. That actually they were afraid, not just of the storm, not just of the water in the boat, because they were expert fishermen. They knew how to fight storms. And so they were doing their very best. But what they were super afraid of is that they might face something that would kill them. A people that were hostile. No one would got there. But the pioneer, Jesus, by accident. Can you see now why it's probably not true that it was by accident? He takes them there. He takes them where they would never choose to go. If Jesus had have said, "Let's go to the other side, to the region of the Gerasenes," they'd have said, "On your bike, son of God." They would have said, no way, Jose. They'd have said, no chance. But the pioneer Jesus reinvents the parameters of the possible. He says, no, we can turn a hostile place into a good place. We can turn an abandoned place into an occupied space for God's kingdom. We can turn abandoned people into people loved and accepted by God. We can turn people who are fleeing into settled and established people. We can turn the temporary into the permanent. Jesus, the pioneer, Hebrew calls him that, the pioneer of our faith, goes where no one else will go. And he says, this belongs to God. A pioneer inhabits territory previously thought uninhabitable. What territory do we need to step into and say, this belongs to God? What regions do we need to step into and say, this belongs to God? God wants to take the limits off what we think possible. Some years ago, I can't remember how many now, years ago maybe, 12, 13 years ago, we decided, we were in a small school hall, we decided we need a second service, we decided to have an evening service, but at the same time, everybody was closing their evening service. And they said to it, don't do it. You can't make Sunday night church. Nobody makes Sunday night church. Today we have, it's my favorite service of the weekend. We still have a vibrant Sunday night service with people turning up, with young people filling it, that service. Something people said was impossible. We said, no, let's do this and let's declare this belongs to God. Let's take this back. Let's inhabit some territory thought uninhabitable. Here's the second thing. A pioneer occupies all streets. Maybe you heard the phrase, occupy Wall Street. No, a pioneer says, let's occupy every street. Your street. Your nation, my nation, every nation. Which means that the pioneer decides to reach the unreachable. They occupy all streets. The gospel, Jesus says, this good news will go into all the world. Everywhere. There's not one person, there's not one place, there's not one moment where God, the pioneer, doesn't long to bring good news to people. Do you know, we can never give up on people. We can never give up on people. We can't give up on our children, we can't give up on our children's children, we can't give up on anyone, we can't give up on our neighbors. My neighbor will not talk to me. It's true. I'm glad you found that funny. You should live where I live. I mean, no, he won't. And the reason he won't talk to me is because I used to have an English Springer Spaniel that was super clever. He knew how to open the door. And his wife is terrified of dogs. And my dog learnt that, so he used to go round and terrify her. And now he won't talk to me. But I can't just dismiss him. And I can't say God doesn't love him, and I can't say, well, let's just leave him. I've got to think about how can the good news of Jesus get to my neighbor who will not talk to me. You see, having the spirit of the pioneer means allowing the Holy Spirit to work in every area. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And having the spirit of a pioneer is allowing God to work in every area of our lives, to occupy every area of our life. And that's so important. Because I believe we live in a time where the issues we face are changing. Human confidence is dwindling. Anxiety is rising. I'm not sure that some of the problematic issues we face, like mental health, lack of hope, loss of resilience, trauma, racism, I'm not sure we're always handling them well. I know as a society in Great Britain, and I know as people working in those areas in our society, we're doing our best and we're giving it a good shot, but I'm not sure we're handling some of those issues well. We see the increasing polarization in our society. It's called identity politics. It's not just race now. It's not just gender. It's called identity politics, which means if you and I, Chris, disagree, then you are evil and I am good. But you think exactly the same. We can't reason together. We can't have a debate. But if you think X and I think Y, we are now enemies. That's where our society is at the moment. What about the failure of government? I don't know if you know this, but I have the opportunity to go into Westminster and speak with MPs every month. I've not been recently because of all that's been happening, but I'm back again next month. And I get to go in and speak with some MPs every month. And one day one of them said to me, "Paul, does this look a mess from the outside?" I didn't quite know what to say, other than, "Looks a total mess from the outside." And he said this to me, "Paul, it's 10 times worse on the inside." The next time I went, I met with a different MP, and we were walking in one of the underground, under the road chambers into the Houses of Parliament. He said to me, "Paul, I want you to know this has been the worst day of my life. I'm so glad you're here today. This place is impossible. It's just impossible." He says, "I'm desperate. There just seems to be no way forward. I'm so glad you're here today." I believe that some of what we see in our society is because we've rejected the way of Jesus. And we have to occupy those streets. We have to be in every place, whether that's with our neighbor, whether that's with our community, whether that's in our church. I love what Kuyper said. He was a politician, actually. He was a Dutch politician and theologian, and he said this, and I'm sure it'll come on the screen. He says, "There is not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, 'Mine.'" What an incredible thing that Jesus says about my neighbor, "Mine." He says about our communities, "Mine." That's why we have to pioneer again. I love the words of Isaiah quoting God, saying, "Who will go for us?" And it starts here. It starts with us. It starts with our streets. It starts with our places. It starts with our families, with our lives, with our church. We begin to occupy for God in that. The third thing, I've just got two more, is this: a pioneer continues pioneering. Pioneer again. A pioneer continues pioneering because there is more. Oh, there's a shock for some of it. Maybe you thought getting into this building, that was it. We've done it. Let's put our feet up. And then God sends me to say, "Uh-oh." Our survey said, there's more. Pioneer again. You see, Columbus was looking for something else. He was looking for a trade route to Asia. That's what he was looking for. But then he found the Americas. They still believed, you know, many people still believed around that time that the earth was flat. Their understanding of things. But Columbus bumping into the Americas meant they could rewrite the map. And let me say this, you moving into this building, you changing your name, well done. We changed our name after 30 years to Icon Church. You changing your name to Salt Church means that you are now rewriting the map. Look at some old maps. Some of you will be interested in that. You look at some old maps, they don't look like our world at all. They only got changed because pioneers continued pioneering. You see, a pioneer is not just content with what's gone before. We're thankful. We must be thankful. We must praise God. We must worship God. I don't know, is anybody thankful for anything God has done in their lives today? Yes. If you're thankful, why don't you with me, let's take 30 seconds just to praise God and thank Him for what He's done in our lives. Come on, if you're thankful in this place, just take 30 seconds and say, "I'm thankful. I'm a thankful person. Thankful church. I'm thankful." But a pioneer isn't content with just being thankful and thankful to God, because a pioneer sees previous victories as a platform. And a pioneer doesn't mind failing. That's the difference between a pioneer and a settler. When you're just wanting to settle, like, you can't cope with failure, but a pioneer, you don't mind failure because you just know, well, we get to redraw the map. And this failed attempt is a voyage of discovery as we move forward. Because a pioneer is not a settler. And things die if we just settle on old things. If we just say, "I liked it when," Things die. Many of the churches that the press in our country are talking about are churches that have just said, we liked it when. We've settled for what was back then. But pioneers continue to have passion, desire, vision, hope, purpose. So we need to ask ourselves today, where is there anywhere we've settled? And where is God asking us to pioneer is again? I don't know if your church is like our church. If Salt Church is like Icon Church, then we haven't figured it all out yet. I know that's a shock. Let me just say that again. Let me just say that again so that gently it can seep in. If Salt Church is like Icon Church, we haven't figured it all out yet. Let me tell you something else that might shock you. Not everything we do works. Oh, I know. Like, you're so shocked. I got to... If your church is anything like our church, not everything we do works. But we won't stop. And we won't stop contending. And we won't stop pioneering. Because a pioneer opens ground for other people. You see, our lives aren't at stake, but their lives are. Our lives aren't at stake if we settle and we stop, but their lives are. The future is at stake. So have you got the spirit of a pioneer? Though don't think it's just for young people. No. This is for all of us. I'll show you in a minute. And finally, somebody says, thank you, Jesus. Muchas gracias, Señor. A pioneer sees what others cannot see. And I'm asking you to see what other people can't see. I'm asking you to be the kind of church that will see what other people can't see. A pioneer sees what others cannot see. There's a guy called Andy Stanley, and he's wrote about vision, and he has this incredible definition of vision. I love this. He says it's this, a mental picture of what could be. I think we're good at that. A mental picture of what could be. You know, if God moved, this place could be too small. We could have to have 3 services. No, you don't do 3 services in Spain, I know. Like, you know, if God moved, we could have all kinds of ministries going out from Salt Church. We could have several Salt Churches, maybe. I don't, who knows? Like if God moved, if God was alive, maybe something could happen. We're all good at seeing what could be. But look at them, what he says. With the conviction that it should be. The conviction that it should be. And here's what a pioneer does. A pioneer puts his stake in the ground and says, this isn't just possible. This has to happen. This has to happen. It has to happen. I love Hebrews 11 and verse 1, but I've kind of struggled often to, I don't know, interpret it. So if I could again ask for a moment of grace from you. God is gracious all the time, and I'll just ask for a moment of grace from you. But I'd like to just read Hebrews 11, 1, and then I'd like to let you know how I've begun to see this. It says this, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Here's been my struggle. I've thought faith is something you believe in. But isn't hope that too? So it's kind of been a confusing verse to me personally. So I've begun to see it like this, because the word for faith can also mean faithfulness. What if we read it like this? Now, faithfulness is the confidence for what we hope for, the expectation. So let me say it like this. We have an expectation of what could be, but faith is living like it should be. Can I say that again? So hope, we have a confidence or a vision of what could be. But faith is the faithfulness, the confidence, the conviction, and the way of living that says, no, it's not could be, it should be. I think if you read the rest of Hebrews 11 of the heroes of faith, you think about that. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He had a vision of what could be, but he had a confidence to leave his family, to leave his home, and to live in a way that this should be. So what do we see? What do we see? And if I'm leaving you with anything this morning, it's this: what we see. Let's live not with que sera, sera. Doris Day was wrong. If I say that in my church, they say, who was Doris Day? Well, most of them do anyway. Doris Day was wrong. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera, the future is ours to see. But it's not just ours to see, it's ours to live, that this is what should be. I want us to ask this morning the Holy Spirit to give us the conviction that a vision that we see should be real. That the things that you've said you want to do and be a salt church should be real, and to live that out. That wherever you find yourself, however you decide to minister, to outreach, to move forward, however you decide to structure yourself, that you don't just have a vision of what could be, but you have a confidence that it should be. Because we're pioneers and we're not settlers. And we're pioneering again. So I want you to do three things as I close. I want you to step out on God's word. I don't know if the worship team comes back and closes, or if we, yeah, you can come back now. Here's what I want you. I want you to step out on God's word. Jesus said, I will build my church. Always step out. You can step out on God's word, on God's promises, on his revelation to you, on what he's called you to do. You can step out on God's word in your family, in your life, in your calling. You can see something that God sees, and you can know that this is possible if God's in it. And you can step out on God's word. The second thing is you can build on the foundation of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, who we read earlier, had this eternal perspective. He said, no other foundation can be laid than the one that has been laid, Jesus Christ and him crucified. If Jesus is our foundation, he's Amen. A pioneer of our faith. The best, ladies and gentlemen, is yet to come. Amen. The best is yet to come. And we, finishing where we started, can rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a prayer I pray every day, and it's this: fill me with your Spirit, God, today. Because I realize that God, what God wants us to do, what God's called us to do, what God's called you to do as a church, we can't do in our own strength. We're not that good. We're not that clever. I'm not that brilliant. But empowered by the Holy Spirit, all things become possible. We've changed that verse, all things are possible, to some things, a few things. Maybe this is possible. But when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, all things become possible. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Salt Church, it's time to pioneer again. You've not come into this place. You've not come to this moment to settle. You've come to this place to get a new... I'm hearing the word rocket fuel in your engine. Maybe that means something to somebody. It means nothing to me. But you're here to find a new fuel that's going to propel you into the future. Come on, let's stand. I'd love to pray, and then I'm going to hand back to Chris and the team. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're a good God, you're a faithful God. I thank you that we can rely on the faithfulness of Jesus. And his faithfulness has brought us life, and has brought us hope, and has brought us joy. And we receive your word today. Sometimes we don't know how we can apply, we don't know what that means, but I know that in the days ahead that you will speak to each and every one of us, and you will show us individually and collectively how we can step forward, how we can stand on the shoulders of giants, but also how we can be the giants for those that come after us, how we can be the banisters that make room for other people to run at a faster pace, how we can be the Wright brothers that mean that all kinds of endeavors can happen that would never happen without a pioneer. I thank you, you're going to show us. I thank you, you're going to lead us in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's thank Jesus one more time.